For every opportunity in your life that slips away, Al-Jabbar is he who brings about another. For every time your heart broke for something that left you or agonizes for something that has come to you, Al-Jabbar is he who brings the pieces of such a heart together again. If you're still unsure, then Al-Jabbar is he who restores what is lost and repairs what is broken and carries the burden. And he is the one who has invited you and I, as well as the rest of humanity, to remedy their pains through him. Al-Ikrah, or compulsion, is one of the shared meanings of this majestic name of Allah, Al-Jabbar, which we translate as the ever-restorer and ever-compeller. So when the Arabs want to say, I forced him, they say, Ajbartuhu, the same three letters of Jabara. So it has a meaning that revolves around force, compulsion, coercion. And that's why some will translate this name as the ever-compeller. But another one of its meanings that's not so commonly discussed is al-islah, rectification, to repair the broken. So when the Arabs want to say, I repaired the broken, they say, Jabartu al-kasir. You hear the letters of Jabara, Jabartu. This act of repairing in Arabic is called Jabr. So what is interesting is that the term algebra is derived from the same root, Jabr, because you have to fix the mathematical equation. And the term used to describe a cast which helps fix broken bones in Arabic is called Jabira. Again, here the three letters of Jabara. That's why some people will translate this majestic name as the ever restorer. And that's one of the miraculous aspects of this name, that on one hand, it has a meaning of supreme power, Al-Jabbar, the ever compeller, whilst at the same time it carries a sheer, subtle, gentle meaning, Al-Jabbar, meaning the ever-restorer, because it's he who repairs poverty with affluence and repairs loss with success and repairs injury with healing and repairs despair with hope and repairs broken hearts with iman and contentment. And he does so endlessly, Al-Jabbar subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his signs in the universe cannot be missed. They're etched all around you, even within you. Take a look in the mirror. Did you choose your gender, your complexion, your hair type, your eye color, your height, your skin texture? It was all chosen for you by compulsion. Then take a look a level deeper. Do you have any say in the millions of simultaneous processes that are taking place in your body every second of the day? The answer to both of these questions is an emphatic no. So every one of us, whether Muslim or otherwise, is under the compulsion of Al-Jabbar, the ever-compeller. Allah said, هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَوِّرُكُمْ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. It is He who shapes you in the wombs, however He wills. You had no say in that. Al-Jabbar legislated Islam, decreed its final form, and He didn't consult any being in the process. He commanded humanity to surrender their hearts, their bodies, their minds, their souls, because He chose to do so. He prohibited us from rejecting His religion because He chose to do so. He offered a reward, He offered a punishment. There is wisdom in all of this, but ultimately He chose to do so. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْكُمُ مَا يُرِيدُ. Allah orders as He wants. He is Al-Jabbar, the ever-compeller. Now let's stay on this line of reasoning for a moment. Why did He choose Mecca over all other cities of the world? Why were the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah chosen as the best 10 days of the year? Why is Friday the best day of the week? Why was Angel Jibreel chosen for the task of delivering revelation of all angels? Why did He select the prophets from all of humanity? Why did He choose certain people to give them the gift of Iman but not others? The answer to all of these questions is the same. وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. Your Lord creates and chooses as He wills. He is Al-Jabbar, the ever-compeller. Now come with me to the world of sleep, and there again you will see the signs of Al-Jabbar, subhanallah. In the 1950s, Dr. Harold Williams of the Walter Reed Army Institute of Research conducted an experiment on sleep. 25 volunteers came forward to participate in long hours of wakefulness, almost 100 hours, and the findings were amazing, subhanAllah. As time elapsed, they began to experience confusion between their own thoughts and external events. Certain bodily sensations began to develop. A tightness around the head gave the impression that a hat was being worn. Some of them started to complain that their eyes were burning or itching. Their vision was blurry. After around 60 hours of sleep deprivation, now depth perception became difficult. Small objects seemed to dart out of place. Chairs apparently were changing in size. Some said that lights appeared to be wearing a halo fog, and even the floor seemed to be moving. At around the 90-hour mark of sleep deprivation, vivid hallucinations started to set in. One volunteer even asked for help to wash the cobwebs from his face, apparently, and his hands. And brief dreams would intrude and become confused with reality. And people found their sense of time distorted. And they continued to deteriorate. And the experiment was stopped at 98 hours because prolonged sleep loss beyond 100 hours would push them to the edge of psychosis. The point of mentioning this is to say that no matter how triumphant you and I may feel by day, the minute the sun sets, man slowly begins to appreciate the might of Allah, because that nightly experience is a reminder of Al-Jabbar, who has compelled you to sleep. Now, the ever compeller, this translation, was only, of course, one of the two meanings of the name Al-Jabbar. The ever restorer was the other. And you've seen the effects of this name as well. Take, for example, the process of healing for cuts and bruises that a lot of us really take for granted. If you get a small cut, you may clean it, cover it with a bandage, and move on with your life. Yet what happens is anything but simple. Wound healing is a highly complex, tightly coordinated interaction, physical, chemical, and cellular events. Take a look. Bleeding has to first stop in a process called hemostasis. Within minutes or even seconds of a scrape or a puncture, blood cells start to clump together and clot, which protect the wound and prevent further blood loss. The clots turn into scabs as they dry by way of a blood cell called a platelet. The clot also contains a protein called fibrin, which forms a net that holds the clot in place. Then the body initiates a process called vasoconstriction that causes the blood vessels to close tight, similar to turning a leaky valve to stop it leaking, subhanAllah. Then you have a process of inflammation, and it's the body's way of alerting you that an injury has happened, and it helps dictate where the next barrage of healthy cells should be headed. Now, once a clot closes off a wound, the blood vessels can now slowly start opening again to allow fresh nutrients, subhanAllah, and oxygen into the wound for healing. The right balance, of course, of oxygen is also crucial, because too much or too little will not allow the wound to heal correctly. Then you have another type of blood cell, a white blood cell called a macrophage, that takes the role of wound protector. It acts like a site manager, where it fights off infection and oversees the repair process. A clear fluid, sometimes you'll see it around the cut at this time, and that essentially helps clear out the wound. Then there's the growth and rebuilding phase. Once the bleeding is under control, oxygen-rich blood cells arrive at the scene to help rebuild the tissue. Then in a complex endeavor, the damaged veins and arteries are replaced by the body's cells by either creating new sections or adding onto existing portions. Then chemical signals are released to tell cells to create collagen, which is a type of scaffolding in the form of a scar that starts out red and then it eventually dulls. Then you have the process of strengthening. Over time, the new tissue gets stronger, and you may see stretching and itching and even creasing of the wound as the changes take place and your body becomes stronger. And the wound gains strength quickly over the first 6 weeks of healing, and about 3 months, the wound is about 80% strong in its repair, as it was before the injury. The point of mentioning this is that the next time you sustain a bruise or a cut, and with no intervention from you, your injury is taken care of for you, allow your heart to prostrate in love and glorification of Al-Jabbar, the ever-restorer, who not only heals what is physically broken, but heals injuries that are far deeper than that. Think about the number of children who are raised in broken homes, abusive families, environments of extreme stress, yet despite all of the odds, they grow up to be fine human beings, successful in their education, happy in their marriages, grounded in their religion, stable in their personalities. Who was the one who repaired their breakage? Al-Jabbar, the ever-restorer, did. Think about so many who were labeled as failures in life, only then to defy all the labels later on in life. Whether we speak of Thomas Edison, who was told that he was too stupid to learn anything, but only went on to becoming one of the greatest inventors of all time with more than 1,000 patents, held to his name in the US alone, and revolutionized everyday life with inventions like the light bulb. Subhanallah, who was the one who repaired their breakage? He was Al-Jabbar, the ever-restorer. Think about the many bereaved ones all throughout the ages who cried intensely at the death of a loved one. And they said they would never recover. They would never move on. They could never be happy again. But guess what? All of them recovered. They moved on. Happiness did find its way back to them. Who was the one who repaired their breakage? He was Al-Jabbar, the ever-restorer. Think about the many who were diagnosed with some of the most life-threatening illnesses, at times multiple life-threatening illnesses that ate at their well-being and shattered their morale. But they would go on to survive and make a full recovery and live a life of prosperity. Who was the one who repaired their breakage? He was Al-Jabbar. One of our contemporaries narrates a story that he witnessed of a wealthy member of his community who was known to be a successful businessman. An engineer approached him and requested the hand of his daughter in marriage. The engineer, mashallah, was a righteous man with an average stable income, but the businessman rejected the proposal because the engineer was not apparently rich enough. Now, on top of that, he rejected him in a very cruel and degrading way. Years later, subhanallah, a law was passed in that country which severely affected the business of the businessman, and it rendered him bankrupt. And he found himself unable to make ends meet. So the ex-businessman now pleaded with members of his community to intervene in speaking on his behalf to the engineer whose marriage proposal he previously turned down, in the hope that he would reconsider his daughter for marriage. And alhamdulillah, the engineer did end up accepting, and he did end up marrying his daughter. Now, subhanallah, by this time, the engineer had become very successful. And in a miraculous and bizarre turn of events, he offered a job to his father-in-law. His father-in-law accepted the job offer and was now an employee of the one whom he had ridiculed just a few years before this event for not being rich enough. Who was the one who compelled the circumstances to produce this outcome, restoring the smile to the face of that humiliated engineer and bringing his broken heart together again? He was Al-Jabbar, who compels the oppressors so that honor is restored to the oppressed, and compels illnesses to evict ailing bodies, and compels enemies to crumble in defeat in aid of the believers who rely upon him, and at times compels the fixed laws of the universe to temporarily shift in order to restore a value of justice on the land. This is Al-Jabbar. And to acknowledge him brings about another automatic acknowledgement, which is what? An acknowledgement of how feeble and helpless we actually are. Who am I to behave with importance and to reject apologies and to belittle employees and to demand my rights in full from my spouse and so on? Who am I besides Al-Jabbar? This is Al-Jabbar. And to acknowledge him brings about another automatic acknowledgement. An acknowledgement of how feeble and helpless we actually are. You say to yourself, who am I to behave with importance, to reject apologies, to belittle employees, or to demand my rights in full from my spouse? Who am I besides Al-Jabbar, but a person who is harmed by a fly, killed by a germ, knocked unconscious by sleep, brought to my knees by hunger and thirst? That's what we are. And so, as long as we live, we're going to keep hearing of stories of power being compelled into weakness and weakness being restored into power, stories of wealth being compelled into poverty, poverty that is restored into wealth, till man submits to the reality that there is no true Jabbar but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that this Jabbar is the only one who is deserving of unconditional love and reliance. So what is it that's hurting you? Is it an accident that has physically broken a bone? A rumor that has damaged your reputation? A mental health condition that has broken apart your positivity? Is it a fear that has broken your resolve to keep going? Or a fraudster? Or a selfish business partner who's left you broke? Is it the never-ending demands of life that have shattered your peace of mind? In any case, remember what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say when he would be set between the two sittings of the prostrations. And he would say, Allahumma ghfirli, warhamni, wajburni, warfa'ni, wahdini, wa'afini, warzuqni. Oh Allah, forgive me and have mercy upon me and repair my breakage. Ujburni, and raise me and guide me and bestow upon me well-being and provide for me. As if to say that, I, by my humanity, O Allah, I'm made to break many times each day. And I am in need of your reparation, O Jabbar, that many times a day.